I saw a green hill outside a city wall, a place of barbaric death where those who fought for freedom died in agony. I saw three crosses silhouetted against the sky on a Black Friday. The death squad called them bandits and thieves. I called them freedom fighters, and they died for the freedom of the land that they loved. Well, not a kingdom in the sky, it was a kingdom on earth, which no occupier would defile. I saw three crosses. I'm told that two of them had blood on their hands, and maybe that was true. But I ask you, is it wrong to struggle against the powerful? Do you let evil men raise crosses or build ovens and do nothing about it? One of the condemned was a simple man called Yesu, and he screamed his way into death on that terrible afternoon. He cried out with a loud voice, but the heavens were silent, and Elijah did not come to take him down. I did not personally know any of the three, but I salute that son, a son of the Torah, a certain Joseph from Arimathea, a high court judge, and I'm told a cousin of the dying Nazarene, who provided a temporary burial place, lest the Holy Sabbath be defiled. To this day, I don't know what happened exactly to the blood-covered body. I only know that when the faithful were keeping the Holy Sabbath, someone came and rolled away the stone and tidied up the tomb, leaving the headcloth not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. My guess is that it was some of the women from the family, and I thank them from the bottom of my heart. For it is the women who watch over us when we are born, and the women who watch over us when we die. That is a tale of grief. But let me also tell you a tale of glory. I saw the man's disciples, Peter and Paul, who perished on the night when Rome burned and Nero laughed. I knew John, the brother of Jesus, who was a just and godly man, who was cast from the parapet of the temple and then clubbed to death. And it was a fearful time. But I heard a great voice from heaven, and it declared, "These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." A tale of glory, a tale of courage and steadfastness. And my witness is faithful and true. I saw that Holocaust in the past when Rome burned. And with my inner eye, I saw a Holocaust in the future. I saw a virginal daughter of the church, and she stepped forward and took the place of a terrified woman. A church which excommunicated those who believed in cremation, but did not excommunicate those who built the crematoria to destroy the ancient people of God. And that is a tale of grief. But I will also tell you a tale of glory. I saw Father Lichtenberg, who stood before the high altar and would not obey eyes in the morning and look out, evil seems so immense, so demonic, so pitiless. I look out and I see a vast shadow driving defenseless families up into mountains where there is neither water nor shelter, slaughtering those who do not follow its rituals, driving 200 schoolgirls from their desks and beheading young reporters. It is savagery, it is evil on a whole different level. I never met your president, but recently he said, it feels like the whole world is falling apart. And as an old man, that's sometimes what I feel. Not messy, monstrous, and the beast seems greater than in all my earlier years. And my heart would fail were it not for two other visions which I had, revelations which told me that the light has not gone out even in our day, revelations which told me that the darkness will never, never overcome the light. I saw an upper room and a table set the night before Sabbath, set every week when the teacher and his disciples would meet for a social meal. It was not a festival, it was not Passover, there was no holy liturgy, there was no sacred wafer. The purpose of the supper was social intercourse, laughter, and good-natured, good-humored banter. But as at all Jewish meals, sooner or later, the conversation would turn to religion and to the coming of Messiah, who would overthrow the occupiers and bring in the kingdom of God. As the guests arrive, one by one, each partakes of the relish and saying his own blessing before eating or drinking. And finally, when they are all gathered, a dozen or so, and reclined, Jesu took the bread, and he broke it with the words that have never changed from that day to this. Blessed be thou, O Lord our God, eternal King, who bringest forth bread from the earth. And I am told, this is the point I'm told, that he said that one day would surely come when it would be no longer 12, but the guests would arrive from the east and from the west, they would arrive from the north, but also from the south, a great multitude as diverse as the Creator had made them. They will come from temple and mosque. They will come from cathedral place and from cathedral and meeting place. They will come from the bustling cities and the lonely plains, a multitude which no one can number. What a supper! Imagine the supper where the yarmulke and the Arab headdress, where the bowler hat and the baseball cap are sitting side by side as one family. And my heart rejoiced, and I was glad, for that is a picture of immense hope. And in my revelation, I write of that great bridal feast, and my witness is faithful and true. This morning, I, John, bring you prophecy. But true prophecy has not just to do with the shape of the future, it must also challenge and confront the present. And I saw that in a divinity student in New York who left his books and returned to Germany to struggle against the evil beast which had spread his shadow over a gifted nation and a shuddering continent. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I saw that when a Baptist pastor spoke of a dream that when they destroyed his house in Gaza 6 weeks ago. He gave the medal back in memory of over 2,000 dead. So I saw that great supper, but I saw another vision. I saw God who promised that one day there would be a new heaven and a new earth. We need a new heaven after that cloud over Hiroshima, after Pan Am 103 fell out of the sky on Lockerbie. And when I sat at the table, time after time, think of that heaven, and I miss the faces I once knew. I wonder what heaven will be like. Will our loved ones know us when we come safely into harbor on the other side? Will the widow be held again by that rugged man who loved the sorrows of her chain? The child she lost with such unconsolable grief. So I, John, am not cast down. It's not all darkness. For in my vision I saw that God had given us not only a new heaven, but also a new earth. Imagine a new world where no child is ever abandoned and no woman is ever abused and no old person is ever forgotten. Imagine a world where no people are occupied, but every person will sit, as the prophet said, under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. A new earth. We have a God who keeps his promises. My witness is faithful and true. But dear friends, the end is not yet. And until we gather at the river which flows by the throne of God, we must confront and challenge the evil we see. We will stand strong against the beast. Where there is no hope, let us invent it. Where there is no compassion, let us practice it. Where there is no liberty, let us create it. Where there is no tolerance, let us live it. And out of the tales of grief which I have told you this day, there will arise of glory. Glory to the one who sits upon the throne. And blessed, thrice blessed, are those who are